You guys, would you join me tonight? We're going to turn to two places. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 as we get into God's word tonight. And then we're also going to go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. So Exodus 3 and Ephesians 3. We're going to start in Ephesians 3 and then we're going to cruise over to Exodus. And with that, let's pray. God, we just want to ask that right now, Lord, this would be your time, that you would anoint this time, God. You would help us, Lord, to absorb, to hear from you all, God, that you desire to speak to our hearts. And that, God, we would walk out of here changed people, God. We would see clearly what it is you're calling us to do, the steps you're asking us to take. And, Father, we pray for the faith to take the steps you're calling us to take, Jesus. I pray not one life would leave here untouched by you, not one soul, God, pressed in further with you. And so, God, we pray that you would anoint the preaching, Lord. We ask for that. Help that guy out. But, Lord, we also pray that you would anoint our hearing right now. We realize, we understand that what's taking place is not just simply listening with physical ears, but, God, you desire to speak to us in our hearts. And so, Father, by your Spirit, Lord, speak to us. And in anticipation of that, God, we lean in right now to hear from you what you desire to say to us. God, we want to be on the edge of our seats, just as that woman with the issue of blood pressed in to touch the hem of your garment, Jesus. We want to press in right now. And just as she received a touch from heaven, we pray that, God, tonight, would you touch us? Speak to us, God. Show us yourself, Jesus, we pray, in your name. And everyone agreed together and said, amen and amen. Well, tonight, I just want to talk with you about something that's been very real in my life lately, very, very near and dear to my heart. And it's learning to live in view of who God is, okay? Learning to live in view of how big God is. Allowing the reality of God's awesomeness, God's power, God's ability to impact and affect my life in every way. And that's something that I've been challenged on lately and watching God push into my life. And I just want to share some of that with you tonight. Is that okay? Can we do that? Come on, remember, amen. Yes, we go there. See, the danger in your life, if you're a believer here today, I'm going to talk to believers and non-believers tonight. If you're here, you're kind of checking out the whole Christianity thing, great. We're honored to have you here. And God's going to share with you tonight. God's going to speak to you tonight. But for those of you that are believers tonight, the danger is not that you're going to necessarily ruin your life. And that's not really what I'm afraid for you, is that you're going to ruin your life. What I get afraid of, it's not that you'd ruin your life, but that we would end up somehow disconnected from just how big God is. And maybe kind of, can I say, wasting our lives? Kind of never stepping into the full potential of all that God desires to do in our life. You guys listen, God has big dreams for your life. Amen? Okay, how about this? God's dreams are bigger than your dreams for your life. Okay? And my fear is that we live lives where we never quite step into all that God desires to do. Like God's up there in heaven just going, would you just let me? Could I just please? And we're going, God, I'm comfortable. I'm good, Lord, like I'm good, right? And that's my fear, because God wants to do so much more. That's why when you look at the prayer, when the disciples ask Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. Jesus, you go through that prayer, you know what I'm talking about? We call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the prayer for the disciples. When you go through that prayer, what's the whole point? Not my will, God, but yours be done, right? Why? Because God's will is so much better than my will. He knows what's going on. I just got to get on page with him. And at the very end of that whole thing, he says, you end your prayer like this. God, your kingdom, your power, your glory. That's how we need to live our lives. How do I live my life? What am I doing today? It's for his kingdom, by his power, for his glory. That's the sweet spot, my friends. That's the sweet spot. When I wake up and I go, I'm going to walk out of here, and God, it's all about your kingdom. What do you want? And God, I'm going to do it in your power. And Lord, at the end of the day, people just go, your glory. You have a big God. That's what we want people to say. Amen? Amen. So let's start like this tonight. I want you to talk to your neighbor. I'm going to give you 60 seconds. And I want you to share with them, ready, your favorite Bible story. Now, if you're in here and you don't know Bible story, just like grasp for something you saw on a flannel graph at some point, you know, at one, in your life. But your favorite Bible story, you have 30 seconds, and then you got to switch with your neighbor if around there is somewhat, maybe a little bit shorter time. But ready, set, Go. Favorite Bible story. Talk to one another. Okay, if you haven't let your neighbor share, it's their turn. Let your neighbor share. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, I didn't say preach a sermon. Come on now. Some of you are like, and point three. Listen, I don't know what Bible story you picked, but I'm going to take a guess that whatever story you pick, the reason you pick that story is there's something in that Bible story that shows off the character of God. You follow what I'm saying? Like, you share that story, and the reason you like that story is there's this character of God that is displayed, and you like that character of God, and you tell the story because it shows off the character of God. And what I'm going to guess is it probably shows off just how big your God is. How you serve a God that works against the odds, amen? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, there's the odds are, and then there's the yet God dynamic. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Peter, hey, buddy, the odds are you can get out of the boat and you're going to sink. I mean, like, people just don't walk on water, right? Like, the odds are there's just no way this is going to happen. But then there's this yet God dynamic that shows up, and you're like, wow, Jesus, thank you. David and Goliath, everyone loves that one. Why? Why do we love the story of David and Goliath? Because David stood on the battlefield 3'2". No, that's not why we like that story. We like it because Goliath is a big deal, right? His armor weighs more than David. And you just go, David, hey guy, listen to me. The odds are you and your little sling and your cute little rocks have like no business going after this guy. Because the odds are you're going to get demolished. But see, what we like about that story is David steps out there not going, oh, the odds are against me, and I don't know. He walks out there like, who are you, uncircumcised Philistine? You like to be coming up against my God? Do you realize who's on my side? And he comes out with this, God is on my side, and there's this yet God dynamic in everything. So the odds are, sure, but there's this yet God dynamic. Every story. The walls of Jericho, odds are, hey man, guys, marching around a city isn't going to do a whole lot for you. But there's this yet God dynamic that shows up in the middle of it and shows us over and over and over again just how big our God is. Listen, my friends, I believe wholeheartedly that you are not living until you're living in light of how big God is. You are sleeping through some of the best moments of your life until you fully engage in how big your God is. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able, say able. Tell your neighbor he is able. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we ask or think according to the power that is at work. Where? In us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen to what Scripture's doing to you and I tonight. It's going, come here, come here. You've got a God who is able. Able to do what? To do whatever needs to be done. What needs to be done in your life right now? What needs to be done in your life right now? Guess what? You're connected to God who is, say it with me, able. All right, good. So now you know God's got some stuff. You need to see, you have some things that you need to see happen in your life right now. And God's going, I'm able. But watch what Scripture's doing in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who's able to do, watch as the Holy Spirit, through Scripture, pushes you to dream a little bit. Able to do what? Exceedingly and abundantly and above all you could ask, think, or imagine. Okay, so that thing I asked you about in your life, what needs to be done in your life, okay? God's going, all right, that's a good starting point. I'm going to ask you right now to dream a little bit. What do you want to see God do in your life? What's the dream for your life? What's the marriage that needs to be healed, the kids that need to come to faith, the ministry that needs to be born through your life, the people that need to be reached? What's the dream? Mark it in your mind. Here's what Scripture does. I'm able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So in other words, whatever you just asked, think, or imagined, God's going, okay, that's cute. That's a good starting point. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you see this in Scripture? God pushing you to dream. God pushing you to dream. But now, I want to talk to you about some very practical things. Because it's very easy for me to get up here and go, let's dream, right? Yeah, praise Jesus, let's dream. I've got a dream. I believe full well that you are not living until you're living with a dream. What God desires to do, what could possibly happen in my life? What is the impossible situation that God can make possible in my life? Because I'm connected to a God who says, with me, nothing is impossible. Without me, all things are impossible, but with me, nothing is impossible. So you're connected to that God. So God wants you to dream. But now here's the problem, okay? When you dream, and I'm asking you to, please, for real, put that in your brain. Good, make it bigger. Got that thing? Here's what we end up with, right? When you're dreaming, you end up with this. It's called point B. It's the what could be. It's the potential. It's the when you ask questions like, what if? What if God wants to do this? What if God wants to, this marriage isn't over? What if God wants to, what if this ministry is going to be born through my life? What if? And you just dream a little bit. Okay, you're going to end up with a point B. Here's the problem, right? This chair exists too. What's this? It's point B. A. This is where I am, eh? Right? I'm at A, but I've got a B in my life, a what could be. And there's this distance between where I am and what could be. Anyone ever find yourself in this tension? Hello? I believe, honestly, you're not living unless you're living in this tension. You need to have a dream. You need to know that you're connected to a God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask, think, or imagine. You need to live in this tension that there's a dream in your life. Okay, I believe full what God wants us. He pushes us in Scripture constantly to dream. But the reality is we're stuck here at point A. So how do we get from point A to point B? What do we do? I want to share with you a few things out of Exodus on how we move forward. Because see, if this tension didn't exist, it wouldn't be a dream. Agreed? Like if we were there, we would be there. It's not a dream any longer, right? So there's always going to be, well, steps that need to be taken. There's ground that needs to be covered between where we are and the dream that God has given us for our lives. Well, how is that ground covered? I believe as we look through Scripture, what you see over and over again, that ground is covered in two ways. I'm going to cover one of those ways tonight. Two ways. One is by praying bold prayers. Amen? You got to pray bold prayers, but you also got to take bold steps. Pray bold prayers, take bold steps. Got to do both, okay? I'm going to talk about taking the bold steps because I think we like to pray bold prayers. But often, God's going, okay, you've prayed a lot of bold prayers, now take a bold step. Because we're like, God, would you just bring revival to our city? Amen? Come on, like God, bring revival. Like God, move in this valley. God, move. God, do exceedingly and abundantly all we could ever ask, think, or imagine in this city. God, do it. God, do it. And God's going, you're like, move, God. And God, I think sometimes might be up there going, well, guess what? It's your move. God, change the city. Walk across the street. So we like to pray the bold prayers, but then God, you got to understand this. If you are going to be bold enough to pray bold prayers, you also have to realize there's going to be a bold step involved, okay? So we got to pray bold prayers, but what? How do we move? Well, you're going to have to take some steps. So let's talk about these steps. Give you three quick principles out of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 7. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 7. For those of you who don't know the story, this Moses is being called by God to lead the children of Israel out of slavery and into the promised land, into the big dream. Into his people being free. And let's watch and glean from God's word tonight on how this takes place. Starting verse 7, the Lord said, I have truly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I want you to notice right there in verse 8, God says, for I have come down to deliver them. Who's going to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery and move them into the promised land? Who's going to do that work? Who's going to do that work? God's going to do that work. He says, I have come down to move them into a land flowing with milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, I'm kidding, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come now therefore, watch this, come now therefore, and I'm going to send you to the Pharaoh, that you may bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hold up, God. I thought you were going to do the work. I am going to do the work. Well, do the work. Here's how I'm going to do the work. Go to the Pharaoh. Watch this. Big dream. Amen? Big, audacious, crazy, only God can get the glory for it dream. How is it going to happen? You're going to take a step, Moses, and you're going to go to the Pharaoh. So here's the first thing you need to write down. Know the next step. If we're going to move between point A and point B, you got to know the next step. The grand vision has to be broken down into a next step. When God gives you a dream, he's going to also give you a next step. When I got married to my wife, Tatum, I pointed out the fact that she is way, like, on a different scale than I am, right? She's, like, amazing woman, okay? That's a good spot. Say amen. Like, that's a good spot. Like, she's just, like, amen. How in the world did he end up with her? Can I tell you how I ended up with her? I took some steps. Can I tell you about the steps I took? Here's my dream. I'm going to marry that girl, Tatum, because dang, she's cute. That's my dream. So here I am, and here's my steps. Well, step one, this is how everything in life works, friends. Everything. You get a dream, you got to take some steps. So the first thing was, well, I got to get her to look this way. Just notice me, right? That's a good first step. Hi, hello, yeah. Chris, yeah, I know you're like way different, like league than me, but would you look down this way, please? Hello, right? And then I had to convince her that I was cool enough to kind of hang out with. That took a lot of convincing, right? And then I had to win her family's heart. That's like really important, okay, right? And then I had to get the guts to like ask her to start hanging out with me and going on some dates. You know, that's a big next step. And so I take that step. And when I kind of feel like there's something happening here, we're going to get exclusive. Hey, would you, you know, you want to, let's start dating. Like this is like real. Okay, so we do that. Now remember, I want to get married. Okay, so now I'm thinking like, okay, we're dating. Things are going good. What's the next step? Like I got to go out and get myself a job. Like that's a good idea. Like, right? Guys, those of you dating in here, before you find a wife, you got to find a life, and life includes not playing your Xbox all the time and getting a job. Amen? So I got to, come on, preach. Like the girl you want to marry doesn't care how far you are on, you know, you're saving the world, whatever's going on in your life. Okay, like, don't you understand? I'm a commander on the Xbox. Who cares? I don't care. Do you have a job? Okay, so I had to go get a job, and then I had to save enough money to go buy a ring, and then I had to ask her if she'd marry, I talked to her dad, and then I had to ask her if she'd marry me. When she said yes, we had to plan a wedding, yeah, we get married. That's a good spot to celebrate. We got married, okay, right. Now listen, how crazy is it for me to one day just go, I'm going to marry that girl, wake up and run out and buy myself a tux, right? It's like, that's a little, right? A little aggressive, probably scare her big time, all right? So there's point being is there's steps. There's steps. God knows the steps to move you from where you are to where he wants you to be. From where you are to him showing himself off in your life and his glory being him being magnified in your life. God knows those steps. So what he'll do is he'll give you a vision, but with that vision, here's what you need to understand. It's going to break down to a next step. So Moses had this next step before him. I got to go to the Pharaoh. Guys, God is going to give you a next step. And here's what I want you to ask yourself tonight. What is that next step? What's the next step? How do we discern that next step? God speaks to his people, amen? God speaks to his people primarily through what? His word. God will speak to you through his word. When God has given you a vision, he's going to give you a next step. And that next step, if you're serious about discovering the next step, you're going to find that as you read God's word, he'll reveal to you what that next step is. Scripture is always the standard. Everything God will speak into your life will line up with what God has already spoken. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. You ever been reading the Bible and kind of feel that, you know what I'm saying? That, and then you turn on K-Wave and it's that same, like, what in the world? Everywhere I go, it's just, what is that? Is God through his word speaking to you, his child? God speaks to us through his word. How else does God speak to us? He speaks to us through prayer. As you're praying, God will nudge your heart. Seek God's face over this dream that's in your heart. And as you are, you'll sense God by his spirit nudging your heart in a certain direction. Listen to how you're praying. Listen to what's happening in your heart. God will speak to you through prayer. How else does God speak to us? God speaks to us through the body of Christ or others, counsel. We're a body, amen? And sometimes we need the ear to tell the eye what the eye can't hear. And we need the eye to tell the ear what the ear can't see. And God will use the body of Christ. That's why when we went to go move to Redlands, I went to Pastor John. John, what do you think? I need counsel. And when you begin to see God's word and prayer and counsel and situation and circumstance all line up, you're starting to go, God might be showing me my next step here. So we got to take a next step. But to take that next step, you got to know what that next step is. And to know that next step, I'm going to challenge you to really honestly seek God's face for that next step. I believe God will show you the next step. But here's what I also believe. I think the truth is that it's not as complex as we sometimes like to make it. The problem often is one or two things. One, we honestly have not pursued the next step. Or two, and I think this is 90% of the time, we know exactly what the next step is. We don't like the next step. Hello? Come on. I don't like the next step, so I'm just going to act like I don't know what the next step is. God, that cannot possibly be the next step. That cannot be what you're asking me to do. So I think often we know what the next step is, but we're just going to, 9 times out of 10... we don't really like it. So here's the second thing. You got to know the next step, but you got to own the next step. I think it's important. You got to own it. God wants to do this in my life. All right. What's the next step? Own it. That's my next step. Some of us, I think, would rather talk about the grand vision than own the next step. Do you know what I'm saying? Let me break it down. We'd rather talk to all of our friends for years about what we want to see change than actually take steps towards seeing that change. We'd rather call all of our friends and complain about, oh, the spouse, they're out doing this and that and doing this and blah, 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 blah. My dream is if this would just be healthy, if they would, blah, 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 blah. And we don't want to take the next step, which is like, hey, I'm going to confront the issue, and if it's, maybe I got to go get some counseling. Would you go get counseling? I'm going to get counseling. Counseling's like, go get some counseling. You need some tools to be able to figure out how to navigate this thing called marriage. And there's people all around you right now that love you and love to lock arms with you and help you navigate the waters of marriage. But you need to be willing to take a next step. Oh, God bless our finances. We want to buy a house someday. We have some dreams and we have some, you know, God, that'd be so great. And we're going to pray bold prayers. Lord, right? Come on. Like, Lord, pray the bold prayers for the big stuff we want to see happen in our life financially. Well, what's the next step? Well, I don't like the next step. Why? Because it's called a budget. I don't want a budget. I just want a nice home. You know, I don't want a budget. You see what I'm saying? I want my kids to know and love and honor and serve Jesus all their life. to know what it is to walk with God and see God moving in their life. I want that. We're going to pray for that all day, and I'll pray bold prayers. But there's this next step called discipline. Hello? It's like a next step. Like I'm going to pray that over their life, but guess what? While you're praying bold prayers, take some bold steps, get off the couch, and go discipline your child for swinging on the chandeliers, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know, like your first child, you're all about it. You're like, discipline, discipline. Second child, like third, fourth child, you're like, I don't even want to get up right now. Just. And in the name of Jesus, get up and love those child, that child through discipline in order to see what God wants to do in their life come into fruition. You see what I'm saying? So I think we like to talk bold prayers, but taking bold steps, owning the next step, seeking to identify the next step. Wait, well, not so much. I mean, think about Moses. God told Moses what the next step was. Moses, go to Pharaoh. I'm going to do something that people are going to talk about forever and eternity. I'm going to show off my power and my glory. Moses, I'm going to work in such a way that no one can lay claim to what's taking place except for me. Moses, I'm going to work. Go to the Pharaoh. And then what did Moses do for the next 29 verses? You know what he did? He complained, made excuses as to why he couldn't possibly go to the, why that was, there was just no way that could be the next step, God. God, you don't understand. You see, God, that can't be the next step. And so for the next 29 verses, he's trying to get out of the next step. Oh, we love the big dream. But that next step, not so much. God, I got a speech impediment. Probably not the best guy to go to the Pharaoh. God's going, and I gave you that tongue. Okay, God, well, you know, and he's just trying in his mind for 29 verses just to convince God that can't possibly be the next step. And I think we do the same thing. That's the dream. That's the goal. That's what God wants to do, is going to do. He's going to do his part. God's going to show up and do all that only he can do. What's our job? Just to do the things he's asking us to do. See, I'm going to do all that God's asking me to do, and he's going to show up and do all that I can never do as I'm doing all that he's asked me to do. But we find ourselves like Moses trying to talk ourselves out of these next steps, because next steps can be extremely scary, can't they? Let's be honest. Next steps can be extremely hard. The children of Israel were slave to Pharaoh. He was the most powerful dude alive. He could say the word and have Moses' head taken clean off of him. And Moses now has to go before this guy and say, hey, Pharaoh, all these people who are working for you, I need you to let them go. They belong to God, and he wants to set them free. And Moses is like, that's probably, I'm just a shepherd? Like, how does that, why would he listen to me? That's a scary next step. And for you, that next step might seem extremely scary. Huh. Seems extremely scary. Maybe it's a conversation you've been ignoring, to apologize, to share the gospel with somebody. Might look like a lot of hard work. Changing the way you do things. Leaving what you're comfortable with. Oh, I can guarantee you, you're going to leave what you're comfortable with. Because when God's going to do something in your life, it's going to happen outside of your comfort zone. He's going to push you into a place where you have to rely on him in this thing we call faith, which means it's going to be out of your comfort zone. You have to lean on him, period. End of subject. So when it's done, all you can say is, God. So sometimes it's scary. Maybe Moses did what we like to do. You guilty of this? I am, for sure. God will nudge my heart, and I know he's nudging my heart, but I spend the next 29 verses playing it out in my head and explaining to God what's going to happen when I take that next step. Hello, anyone with me? Like, there's my next step, and I just, do you do this? I do this. I play it out in my head. Well, God, if I take that step, then this thing, and then that thing's going to happen, and then God, if that happens, you know, this is going to happen, and God, look, blah. Like, who wants to go there? God, don't you understand that if I take that step, that's what's going to happen? You play it out in your head. You do this? Hello, anyone? I do this all the time. God will ask me to do something. That's crazy. Because God, don't you understand? If I do that, we have a mess on our hands. Like, God, you just don't understand how this works. Right. Can you imagine me, Moses? Okay, so God, you want me to go to Pharaoh, most powerful man alive, and explain to him that I was out walking in the desert and that this bush, that you threw the bush, told me to tell him to let your people go, and he actually thinks they're his people. Right, God, let me. So, Pharaoh, I was in the desert, and there's this bush. It was on fire, but it didn't burn up, but God was speaking through the bush. And, yeah, this is starting to sound a little crazy. Right? And if Moses plays it out in his head, it just doesn't look like a good scenario. And maybe you do that. If I have that conversation, if I start investing in that work, if I leave what I'm comfortable with, if I step out and serve in that area, if, then, right? And we play it out and we get stuck in this fear cycle of playing it out in our heads. Sometimes that step is not going to make sense, friends. You just need to hear this up front. It may not, I could almost step out on a limb and say it probably, it's a very rare instance when it makes sense to you. See, because God has called us to walk by what? Walk by what? And not by what? And if you have to see how everything works out before you take that step, you're trying to walk by sight and not by faith. There's always going to be this element, my friends, where you're like, I don't know. But all I do know is God is asking me to take the step. I can't ignore it. I keep trying to turn my eyes from it, but it just continues to be in front of me as the thing God is asking of me. I've got to take this step. You have to understand that you won't always understand up front. I could tell you when you will understand. It's when you get here. You'll look back and go, oh, but you're never going to be able to reason it out on that side. You follow what I'm saying? Know the next step. Own the next step. And then you got to take that next step. See, when you're willing to own those steps in faith and allow the Lord to guide you, they become infused with the extraordinary potential. God begins to work. You've got to take that next step, my friends. No matter how hard you try, it's not going to work until you lean into it. You're not going to see God's desired intention until you lean into it. The sea doesn't part until you put your toe in it. You know, you got to kind of go, jump off the cliff a little bit, and then you begin to see the Lord work. You've got to take that next step. My dad would always say it like this. You can't steer a parked car. You ever heard that? You can't steer, and it's true. I don't care, right? No matter how long you sit and move the steer, you're going to go nowhere until you're moving forward. And when you're moving forward, here's what happens is God uses that momentum in your life, you doing what you believe God's calling you to do. He uses that momentum in your life to steer you right where he wants you to be. But if you're sitting there not doing the things that you believe God's calling you to do in your life, got to give God something to work with here. Let him move you as you move at some point. You just have to do what you know the Lord is asking you to do and let him worry about the consequences. Amen? I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, God, and then you just worry about the consequences. And as you do, my friends, you will see God work in miraculous ways. As Moses was obedient, God showed up in miraculous ways over and over and over again. Some of the most miraculous ways that we see in all of Scripture, some of the things we like to highlight, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, all of it. What is it? It's just Moses going, God, you've asked me to do what? Okay. Stretch out my staff over the Red Sea. That'll make a whole lot of sense, but okay. And, oh, the water stands up on end. Okay. Right? Strike a rock and we're going to get water. Okay, right? Speak to the rock. Okay, God, right? It's just step after step, and then God showing up and showing off his extraordinary power through ordinary steps of obedience. God's extraordinary power being shown off through steps of obedience. so to land this. How's it going to work out? I don't know what's going to happen. Can I tell you how it's going to work out? It's going to work out exactly as God intends for it to work out. That's all you need to know. It's going to work out exactly as God has planned for it to work out. Your job, you take the next step. Here's a couple things you can rely on as you take that step. First is this. God's going to carry you through, my friend. Amen. God is faithful to his people. Always faithful to his people. He will carry you through. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, it talks about the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the wise man that built his house upon the rock. And you look in that, Matthew 7, you look there, and the only difference between the one who built his house upon the sand and the one who built his house upon the rock is that the one who built his house upon the rock was obedient to do what Jesus had asked. It was obedience that allowed him to build his house upon the rock. So the storms will come, and come they may. But as you are being obedient, God will hold you up. He will uphold you by his mighty right hand. He's promised that. Through your faith and through your obedience, you find yourself planted on a rock. God's sustaining you. Here's another thing you need to understand. You're successful already. Successful already. People will measure success by so many things. How much money's in your bank account? How many people are at this thing? How many with this? And it's usually numbers, and it's this, and it's that, and it's this. And it's all these things that the world's going to measure success by. My friends, do you know how God measures success today? It tells us in Scripture that we are stewards, and it's required of a steward that he be found, you know? Faithful. Just faithful. You're successful already when you're faithful just to do what God is asking you to do. Who cares what the world says? Who cares what the world thinks? Who cares how they want to try to measure it? How they want to try to hold me up against whatever standard they might have? You know what? If I'm doing what God's asking me to do, I am successful already. Amen? I'm doing what God's called me to do. And that's all I could ever do. Do you know Moses was told, remember, go speak to the rock. And he was a little frustrated. He went out. Do you know what he did? He hit the rock. Well, God's faithful. He brought the water. And it looked like to all the children of Israel, oh, Moses, you did it again. Moses, right? And he was, in the eyes of the world, successful. But God pulled him aside and had a different conversation with him, didn't he? Moses, that may look successful to the eyes of the world. But Moses, success in my eyes is just doing what I've asked you to do. Oh, it's so freeing, friends. So freeing. And so what I want to challenge you to tonight is to take those steps. Scripture does not use the terminology walk by faith or walk with God or walk in the Spirit by accident, because it's a walk. Amen? One foot in front of the other. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God, putting one foot in front of the other foot in obedience. Is there a step that God's asked you to take? I'm going to say that we are called by God to live with the dream, okay? You're also called by God to take the steps. And here's what you'll find. This is success. It's not necessarily that thing. When I see that thing happen, that's great. We want that. But it's not always that thing. It's often just this thing, just walking. Just walk by faith. Walk by faith. Just walk with God. And you know what you find sometimes? You'll get all the way here. You're about ready to see that become. And God's going to go, hey, I brought you here to show you that. You're like, oh, I never would have seen that if I wasn't walking toward this. And God will steer your life. But you're never going to see any of it if you're just sitting over here. In the boat, play it safe. I would way rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker any day. Amen? Amen? Church, would you walk by faith? Let God release ministry through your life, touch people through your lives.